Welcome to Inner Healers, a radio show dedicated to bridging science and spirituality by sharing the latest news on integrative health and overall well-being from a spiritual standpoint. Producer Luciana Stiglich, BASM, is a medicine woman and will be your host in this adventure. Join her every Wednesday to remember you can heal from within. You are an inner healer. Are you ready? This journey starts right here, right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Inner Healers. As many of you know, Inner Healers is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers that we need to live a healthy, happy life. As such, this community has created Inner Healers Radio, a space, a place for people to connect on a spiritual standpoint. The idea is to help you remember what we actually all know, which is that we can all heal from within because we are inner healers. Today, we are going together through a different time. It's like a new world is being born. And in the midst of this pandemic, the topic for today, I think is, or I hope it will be something that will be very useful for all of you. And the idea is to talk about how we can find hope in times of this pandemic. For this topic, we have an amazing guest, someone I admire and I love very much. We've had her before in our radio show. I'm really honored to be able to talk to her today with you guys. So help me welcome Chris Griscom. Hello, Chris. Thanks for being with us this morning.
I so love the fact that we can touch each other without being in each other's presence. We can touch each other from levels that really embrace our hearts and our consciousness.
Thank you so much for being here. So how can we identify if we are experiencing hope? How would you define hope?
You know, I have to smile because in truth, hope is not one of my favorite words. And the reason is not, which you inner healers will understand, is that when people say, I hope for something, they're always feeling as if it's going to come to them, that someone is going to create it, that there's some magical miracle which will allow them to have whatever it is that they're hoping for, that they're praying for, whatever it is. So for me, I would switch that word to say that the real essence of hope is an energy inside the self where we can trust ourselves and trust the purpose of our lives. When we practice, when we live that sense that everything is happening outside me, first of all, is happening inside me. So the more that I look for the answers inside me, the more that what you would call hope or I would call knowing will come to the fore, because it's about at this time. And the fact that every soul on this planet is a wise soul. There are no new beginners on this planet. That's why we're all here. We're here for this transition, and we've been given the pandemic. The pandemic is just a wonderful opportunity for us to go inside and really activate the kinds of energies that are necessary for the evolution of our soul, which is the trust in ourselves, the honoring of our physical form, and realizing that the body is a spiritual vehicle. And so when we begin to shift into this sense of what is my purpose, it's not to get sick and die. It's not. It's to use our body, even if you do. We have many, many incarnations. And even if you do get sick, use that experience of being sick to heal yourself on so many deep levels. And so for me, how can we get that hope? We want to begin to, as you speak of so wonderfully, to be the inner healers, to go inside ourselves and ask ourselves the questions and hear the answers from our bodies that will bring us a sense of it's all right. We will pass through this funnel of initiation. We will do it well. It will bring us to the next octave of human existence. And while the viruses are mutating like mad, we humans must mutate as well. And the mutating of our genetics is a higher octave of consciousness where we recognize that what happens to you happens to me. And we begin to realize that that inner healer in us, part of the way that we heal ourselves is to heal others. How do we heal others? We do it with our love, with our consciousness, with our light. So that's kind of a long beginning to say, trust yourself that you are the one who will bring it to you. You are the one that will choose whether you get sick or you get healthy, or you help the world, or you create a new kind of abundance. You are the one. We are the ones together. And that would be my idea of true hope and the energy that needs to come to us right now. We need to let go of our fear, and you and I can talk about ways to do that. The fear of our lives, the fear of the outside world, the inside world, and come to a place again where hope is really the beautiful trusting of our lives, trusting of each other, trusting of this time on the planet that we have orchestrated for our own growth.
That is beautiful. You know, when I was meditating on the topic, and I chose the topic, it was so clear to me because I specifically used the words finding hope, because I wanted us to, in a way, explain to people that whenever we think we have to find hope, we're kind of stuck a little bit, because hope is not outside of us, you know? Like, hope is something that is inside of us. It's like, once we trust, once we have faith, it's impossible not to hope. It's impossible not to, like, know and have a positive expectation about what's coming for us. So I'm so grateful that this is what you said when you started talking, because that's the first thing in my mind when I chose the topic. You know, the first thing that I said, yes, people should be nudged in the sense, like, people should remember that we are all connected to something, like, so big that it includes all of us as a whole. So thank you so much for saying that. And about what you were saying, you were talking about fear. Now, change is something constant in life, right? I would say it's the constant, the only constant thing in life. And I would only say, I would also say it's the only certainty we have. So in a way, change is always happening. Sometimes changes are bigger than others, but change is always happening, right? That's how we experience, how we expand, how we evolve. And whenever we face change, we sometimes feel some uncertainty, because change allows us to go from something that is familiar to where we are being headed, where we are going to be able to, you know, explore our own traits and resources and be able to use them with other people. And in the same way, we're going to receive from these people, and we're going to be able to expand and to have the life experience that we came here to have. And during this path from the familiar to the unknown, full of opportunities, we sometimes experience this uncertainty that sometimes comes in with anxiety or the fear you were mentioning. You know, these are all like fear-based emotions. So what can we tell people about this hope that we have inside, this trusting, this faith that we have inside, this inner knowing, in relation to how to deal with uncertainty?
let me back up on that and say that remember yourselves as children. For children, change is an adventure. We don't want change because we have rooted our sense of self and our sense of safety into a pattern. But mutations and evolution breaks the pattern. And we must break our political patterns, our health patterns, our life patterns right now, our religious patterns, in order to create that catapultic leap. So I've created what I call exercises in consciousness to have a way to energetically access these different energies. So I would like to do a little short one that has to do with knowing that you have the strength and you can have the adventure of change. Again, it's tied into a sense of security within the self, safety within the self, which is a conversation that connects to peace and connects to fear. But let's do a very quick little exercise in consciousness about change, because if you are afraid of change, if you're holding against change, then you will catch yourself and you will limit the fabulous potential that you brought into this life. And so let us activate within us that power of change. And when we feel that power of change, then that uncertainty becomes something that we know is okay. We don't know, but you know, even when we think we know, even when we think we have control of our lives, we have jobs, we have family, we have money, we have health, even when we think we have control, we don't. And so part of the spiritual exercise right now is twofold: to find the sense, that courage of knowing that you have the power to change what needs to be changed, because that is part of our purpose in life. And the second part is to know that who has the orchestration of the pathways that we will travel on: our own higher selves, our own spiritual essence. So here's the exercise, and you can do this anytime. You could be cooking dinner, you could be walking in your garden, you could be sitting, staring out the window. You could do this exercise anytime, very fast. And what it is that we use the body, because the body orchestrates everything for you. So we're going to ask our body where it holds the power of change, so that we could be the agents of change. I have a program called Global Echelon, and in that we call ourselves agents of change, which means that we're not afraid of the change, that any change is there, we support it or we alter it or we participate in. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to access that power of change inside us that will bring us what we might call trust or courage or hope or whatever it is. Let's do it. It's very quick. All you need to do is close your eyes for a minute, take a deep breath into your body, and breathe out slowly through your mouth. Now ask your body where it holds the power of change. The body never lies, it knows everything. You might see a place in your body, or hear it, or feel it. Just ask, where am I holding the power of change, what needs to be changed, to be the change, to receive change? Just take the first impression that you get. Where is that in your body? Now bring your conscious awareness into that place in your body where you hold the power of change. And just imagine that you could dip into it so that you begin to sense that power of change. Does it feel like it makes you bigger? Does it feel like an explosion of something? Does it feel constant? Perceive the power of change. Maybe it's that wonderment or that excitement that you have as you look out at life and see things you haven't seen before or known before. So as you are into that place in your body where you're holding that power, imagine that you could prick it open so that that power of change begins to flow through you. Imagine that it flows up into your brain so that your brain holds that imprint and throughout your whole body. Extend that power of change, that vibration, into the trillions of cells of your body. Feel that energy shifting you, bringing you a sense of safety and trust. Now, another deep breath, and as you exhale, laser that power out from your body through your auric field, through your electromagnetic field, energy field, and radiate it out. Imagine that you're seeding the whole world so that all humanity will begin to feel that each of us are part of the power of change. We can invite it, that we can utilize it, that we can transform whatever needs to be transformed in that change. So feel yourself radiating it out and notice how that alters your energy, your sense of self. And then open your eyes. So, Luciana, where were you holding that power of change inside you? Because you are the vehicle of change. Where are you holding it?
It was beautiful because I first saw it in my belly, you know, the wheel, where the wheel is seated. But immediately, I switched my focus to my heart, and it was opening like a window for people. And then I was thinking, hey, but if it's too open, you know, you're like too vulnerable. And immediately what I saw through the window was source form. So for people who believe in source or in God or in life or the universe, it's like God in form or source in form or love in form, you know. And nothing can harm that. So then, based on that understanding, like the window just was fully opened, and then everything that was in front of that source in form or God in form or love in form was people having many, was people suffering. And so when people suffer, people become difficult in the sense that they are suffering and they don't know how to make themselves safe or healthy or peaceful, or, you know, because they are suffering. And then they, you know, what initially might seem like somebody's hurting you, they're actually hurting so much, but they cannot hurt you. Because whatever that faces when it comes this way, source, it's just, you know, it's impenetrable. So there's no need to protect, and there's no need to fear based, you know, because it's just what is it gonna, there's nothing to hurt there, you know. And based on that, then my focus came back to my wheel, which was again around the belly, because with that in mind, then your actions can really help. You know, your will can actually do something for other people, can actually generate a change, but not before your heart is wide open to other people. And then my focus went down to, you know,
I would let go of the time there and say that everything you do in your life creates a ripple. That's the law of karma, cause and effect. Action and reaction. So helping other people opens your heart. Opening your heart helps yourself and other people. But there are a couple points in there that I'm glad that you brought up, and that are old concepts that people are part of the fear that they have. That if they open their heart or if they radiate their energy, that they will be vulnerable. That is not cosmic law. That is the opposite of cosmic law. The Chinese and the old traditional Eastern forms of medicine and life have known that for thousands and thousands of years, that the giver has the power. So it's about the direction of energy. If you are afraid to let the energy out, then you create a vulnerability. The more that the energy radiates out from you, the cosmic law is that when energies come together, energies that are slower than your energy can enter. So if you quicken your frequency, energies have to be equal to yours or faster, and so that they can't enter. I confuse that. So what you want to do is to strengthen your energy. We have to release that fear that if we help each other, that's one of the reasons, that's one of the major purposes of this pandemic, is that we humans have always been afraid of each other. That's why we have wars. That's why we have trouble in relationships. That's why we can't share. And so we have to learn that, again, what happens to you happens to me. And the more that I radiate my energy out to you, the more that our energies quicken. So that that concept of if I help you, something might happen to me, or I'll be vulnerable if I open. It's an old concept, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I know that you know that that's the opposite of what is true. The more that you open your energy, the more healthy you will be, the more connected to your higher energies you will be, the more connected you are. That's why we do exercises in consciousness, because we can understand things in our minds, you know. But as you so beautifully titled this, the inner healer, it's not the understanding, it's a deep knowing, and that knowing necessitates an experience. My higher self says that there isn't one truth in this world, that truth is something that changes as we grow. So I always say to my students, speak your truth, but know that tomorrow your truth will change. And so we want to experience, this is what my higher self says, experience is the only truth. And as you grow and expand your consciousness, your experience changes, therefore your truth changes, therefore how you see people. I, for example, know, and I've been working with a lot of people who are suffering in terms of disease, not just the pandemic. That's only one of the things going on here. There's all kinds of emotional, spiritual, mental, physical suffering going on. But suffering is connected to lack of sense of self and lack of sense of purpose. You can have a terrible disease and be on the moment of death. And I have died 6 times, so I really can speak to this. You can be at the moment of death or even passing through the passage of death. Once you begin to see its purpose, or you begin to learn the lesson of it, it goes away. That's why so many people are healing themselves from this virus, you know, because there comes a time when we say, I need to breathe. The first and the last thing we do in life is to breathe. And so we begin to focus on that. I've been doing some short videos around the world about how to protect your breathing. And what happens to people right when they get very sick is they begin to ask the question, do I want to live? And if I do, then I put that energy into it. And suddenly they get better and they perform miracles, and we need to hear them. So that the religious concepts that we have about, and this is very important to say to you all, you may never have thought of this, but almost all religions have put out imprints that say, the more that you suffer, the closer you are to God. It's not true. And so one of the ways that we can go on to the next octave is to not feel somehow that being the victim or suffering is a good thing. You do not have to suffer. God does not want you to suffer. Nobody's making you have a disease to punish you. These things are not true. They've been created by humans, not by divine beings. And so the more that we find that divine being inside ourselves, the more that we look at our fears and we say, wow, you know, I don't have to carry that fear. I wrote a book, and I think it's very important, about psychogenetics. And I was talking about, and this is very true of this virus today. Imagine that your father's 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 father, or mother's 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 mother, died in the Spanish flu, or died in the Black Plague. The Black Plague took out a third of the human population at that time. We have, in our genetics, imprints and fears of those kinds of pandemic deaths. And they only activate our vulnerability to it. So we want to begin to kind of look at our lives, and what you're doing with the Inner Healers is really saying, we don't have to get sick, we don't have to get to the moment of death before we go, wait a minute, I want to live, I want to be healthy. We don't have to, but we do have to realize that a suffering doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve you. You want to put all of your energy. People are asking me constantly right now, how do we heal from this pandemic? And I could go on for hours about how to do that. But the first thing that I would say is to really begin to imprint consciously, not just in your mind, not by saying, but by experiencing it. No, I'm not vulnerable to this virus. I'm here to use this virus, not to have this virus use me. And so the more that we say, I want to be the healer part rather than the sick part, the more we will be exactly that, because your body is listening to you and your body will do what you tell it to do.
I think what you say is beautiful, and thank you for sharing it from that point of view. I'm sure the people who are listening to us and that will be listening to us in the replays are going to take so much from what you just said. So would you mind maybe exploring a little bit more about what is the purpose of suffering whenever we experience it?
You know, my very first spiritual teacher and actually physical healing teacher was a curandera in Mexico. And she always said, whole in the spirit, whole in the body. She didn't mean that if you're sick, there's something wrong with your spirit. She said it the other way around. If you're sick, your spirit is attempting to teach you something. It may be to teach you the value of life. It may be to teach you how to heal yourself and then be able to help others. And so she really imprinted that sense in me to use any experience that we have. Rather than feeling that we are the victims, because again, when we talked about hope, so often it's about, will something come and take care of it for me? No, we are all powerful souls at this time. We are here to take care of it ourselves. And it begins with our bodies. That's why we're having a pandemic. That's what this evolution is about right now, is to help us realize that we don't have to die of viruses. We can begin to work with our body, because it's not just some medical thing, a vaccine that might come in the future, which of course the virus will have mutated 20 times by the time they have a vaccine for that. They don't have a vaccine for Ebola. They don't have a good vaccine for flus. No, it's going to come from inside us. We can use anything that's outside us, whether it's an herb or it's a meditation or some kind of medical thing. But the most powerful way to not suffer and it is to realize that suffering, it doesn't have to be a part of our lives. Again, there is an unconscious psychogenetic concept that says, and here's something very important. If I am suffering, it's not my fault. And we have deeply within us the fear of being judged, that we're going to be wrong, that someone's going to blame us for something. We're terrified of being blamed. So we try to be right all the time. And we have to release these things. These come from the very beginnings of religions, the very beginnings of time when we, again, imprinted that God is going to punish you. It's not true. We need to go on now and realize that take yourself away from suffering. One of the ways that you could do that is to, and here's an exercise in consciousness, I'll just speak about it. Ask your body where it's holding that concept of suffering or that feeling that you're the victim or that you're suffering. Because you might be suffering on one level, but being very successful on another. So what are you going to choose? So here's the exercise in consciousness. Ask your body where it holds that point of suffering or being the victim. Bring your conscious awareness, into that place, and ask it what frequency of light, what color it needs to dissolve away the pattern of suffering that will help you to heal. Because if you're going to heal yourself, you have to think about what does your body want to heal, not how much your body is suffering. I'm not saying that suffering isn't true. I've experienced a lot of suffering. I've been with hundreds of people suffering and dying, including myself. I know those stories, but I also know that there's a way around it. So if you go into that place in your body where you're holding that point of suffering and then asking what color it needs, because the body is made of light, whatever color that comes to you, except black, which is not a color, draw that color into that place in your body and allow the light to expand, to absorb the suffering and dissolve it away and expand that place, because suffering and pain and sorrow is contraction. We must open ourselves right now so that we can experience new things, so that we can heal ourselves, so that we can actually trust that there is a higher energy that comes into us. Again, as you were saying, Luciana, whether you call it God or I call it the divine source, whatever you call it, or the higher self, you bring it into you and it will show you how to use your purpose, your life, in a way that brings joy and health until you're done. One of the things that I learned from near-death experiences is you don't get out until you're done. That's why I'm still here. You don't get out until you're ready. I've been working with some people with this pandemic, and it's very interesting when they begin to say, am I done? And when they realize that they were not done. Sometimes they said, yes, I've done what I can do. And they pass from their bodies. They choose it. They know it's their time. But if they say, no, I'm not finished, because my higher self says there are no finished products on this planet. When they say, I'm not finished, you know what? They suddenly can get off their ventilators. They suddenly get better because they have used the power of consciousness. And I think that is what I want to share with all of you, is that we are conscious beings. And it's that inner consciousness that is the inner healer. So.
Yes, those are beautiful concepts. And I also think that people listening to us and are going to internalize them, because it's totally true. Being here is a choice, and this choice is repeated at every moment. We keep on repeating to, you know, I want to be here, I want to do this, I want to. And as you were saying, there's a time when we just say, I don't want to anymore because I want something else. And then we switch and we go back to wherever we come from, whatever you call it. And then we keep on going and soul-journeying, you know, where we can expand. Because if you, like, all our lifetimes, when we put them together, it's a huge life with huge amounts of opportunities. And this is one of the amazing opportunities that we have.
And it will never end.
Right now. Yes. And I also wanted to, based on something you said, that has to do with breathing. So I remember during the first days that this started, I remember understanding how this all had to do with an experience of understanding and giving value to breathing. It's like breathing is the first gift that we receive when we come here, the ability to breathe. So that is how life takes this body, and we start experiencing, you know, through the first breath. And that's what we keep on doing. Every breath means a choice to stay here, to keep on doing what we're doing. And I am so grateful that you mentioned that.
Yes. There are so many ways, you know, to practice breathing, to learn to breathe, that can heal your lungs. And it's very interesting, typically, that our lungs, where we breathe, first thing that we do. Our lungs are also the area in our body where we hold anxiety. And the first breath is when, for me, the soul, I see the light of the soul come in the first breath. And so it's very important to learn to breathe and to, when you're meditating, to focus on your breath. You know, when you see in Eastern things, you see the Buddha and all these people connecting like that. But we know in acupuncture that this first finger is the finger that causes this part of the breathing. And this is the energy of the cosmos. So when you connect them together, it's really life force connected to the highest octave. You know, it creates, the mudras create a recycling of energy to the self. And I think it's very important also. And one of the things that disease gives us is that we often, our whole life is about the others. And this is important to realize that our families and our connections are very important. But if we take care of them, but we don't take care of us, then we are not honoring, as you're talking about, the honor of breath, the honor of life, which breath gives us. And so the more that we think, I love the way you said that, Luciana. Imagine that each of your breaths is the first breath. And something that I'm putting in a book I'm writing right now, which is called Potential Body, Healing of the Light and Health, has to do with the fact that when we inhale, we activate our sympathetic nervous system, which is fight or flight. You know, wake up. But when we exhale, because most people don't exhale very much, they inhale. What's going to happen? But they don't. When you exhale, physiologically, you activate your parasympathetic nervous system. And that is the system that says everything is fine. You can eat, you can relax, it will bring you into a meditative state. So if, you know, we just practice, for example, right now, everybody, take a deep breath in. And now very slowly, breathe out through your mouth. You feel that? When you breathe out through your mouth slowly, when you focus a long, slow exhalation, your brain will tell your whole body, everything is fine. Everything is fine. And I love the part of that that says, you can eat. You know how when you get nervous, you can't eat, and children get tummy aches all the time when they get scared? You know, that's the sympathetic nervous system. But so if the parasympathetic nervous system says, you can eat, we all feel well. We all know everything is okay.
Yes, and
so thank you for bringing those things.
But it's also amazing, you know, because when you started talking, I also had this feeling about honoring our breath, you know, which is the same feeling I got when this all started. And it's not, you know, it's important to breathe, but it's also that we have been living in a way that we haven't been allowing ourselves to properly breathe. So because the way in which the world has been moving, we have been, you know, running around trying to comply with all the responsibilities that we assumed. And then we usually have been so worried about our economy, our work, our families. It's like the more and more we used our breath in this lifetime, we've been using it to experience more profoundly the fear itself. And we haven't, in that, because that has been happening, and of course we have been focusing so much on fear, that fear has been growing and growing and growing, not only inside of us, but the collective fear has been growing so much, that by doing that, we haven't fully been honoring our capacity to breathe, our gift of breath. So that's the first thing I got when this all started. So I felt that not only I needed to breathe, or the people around me, or my country, or, you know, the people in the whole world, but also the earth itself. Because in the same way we had been exaggerating with the need that we had been imposing upon us, and upon those we cared for, and upon those we related with, we also had been exaggerating with what we had been asking from Earth, you know? So when you talk about fishing and mining and, you know, everything that has to do with a relationship with the land, we were expressing the same relationship we've had with ourselves, with those around us, including our land. And so the land also needed to breathe, you know? So it's like a...
I love that you say that because I'm very, very focused on giving back to the earth. And, you know, one little giggle is that plants take in your exhalation, you know, what you're exhaling out, that carbon dioxide that you're exhaling. The plants love it. So I go around hawing all of my plants so that they will bloom beautifully. And knowing that as you breathe in, the trees are extending out oxygen, you know. So there is this other play of breath that goes between the natural world of plants, for example, and humans. It's a back and forth. It's a beautiful figure eight of connecting. And I feel that one of the ways that we can find health today is to care about our earth. You know, is to look around right now. I think it is so spectacular that when countries began to close down so that you couldn't drive, you had to stay home, within 1 week, we saw blue skies where we'd never seen blue skies for months or years. I saw pictures from Brazil of places that I've gone to swim and been where the water's always a little bit, you know, being mucky. So clear you could drink it. You could see every little grain of sand within a week or so of doing this change that we humans have made. So when we talk about change, look at the change that we have created in terms of our relationship with Mother Earth and how quickly Mother Earth has said, look, if you change the way you walk in the world, the way you use oxygen, the way you use Gaia, look what we'll give back to you. So we have clean waters, we have blue skies, we have the sound of animals, the birds again. We have a sense of peace. And so when we talk about change and the adventure of change, part of that is, okay, now that we've seen what could happen, how can we use that? Can we really put our intelligence now, our healing capacities to how to more heal the earth, how to stop taking the oil, how to be more in harmony with the earth, and still have plenty of money, have plenty of business, have plenty of ways that we support ourselves, but do it in a more conscious way. And so I've loved that as being part of this pandemic, and we say, what's the spiritual purpose of it? Well, Mother Earth has been showing us part of that purpose. And now it's for us to reinvent ourselves and reinvent the way that we walk upon this earth and the way we use our breath and the breath of the rainforest, you know, that give us the oxygen we need to survive. So it's a beautiful, harmonious potential that's moving back and forth and back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you so much, Chris, for being with us today. I don't know if you have any last words that you would like to share with our listeners.
Of course. What I would like to share to all of you is to really imagine and practice exercises in consciousness, breathing and tuning into your body and healing yourself. And imagine that there is this purpose of this pandemic, and it's not to hurt you. It's to awaken you to see all the many ways that you may not have thought you could help, that you can help. The way people are beginning to care for each other. I love this aspect of Latin America. It's why I've had many lifetimes in Latin America, but it's one of the reasons that I love the language and I love the people, is that there is a love of family. There is a love of connection. And what this pandemic is showing us is that if you can't touch your family, if you can't go next door to your family right this moment, you can use your consciousness to connect with them. You can see them as your soul family. You can realize that you chose them to be with you in this lifetime. So part of the purpose here is to really practice the honoring and the gratefulness of life, the gratefulness of each other, the gratefulness to this earth, the gratefulness of being able to have incarnated here, to be a part of what's going on. Don't be afraid. Clear the fear from you and build the courage in you for change and to feel that you are an agent of change and that everything you do, because this is very important, everything that you think, everything that you experience, everything that you do creates a ripple. And that ripple is part of what is taking us from this moment into a new world, a world that we can pass down generation to generation with greater dignity and greater access to the human heart. I send you all my great love. I carry you in my heart.
Thank you so much.
And I carry you.
Saying that again, which I think it's important to mention before we leave. And you were just saying it and it just came in and I was like, oh no, but we're closing the show. Okay, let's just, maybe we can say something just to, you know, to finish the show. And it has to do with talking about not being able to hug those we love. I think the basis of all fear in this reality is the fear of separation. So if we are told that we have to separate physically from those we love, either because we cannot hug them or because they are going to die and we're never going to see them again, then I understand that there is so much fear that people are stepping in that fear as you know, one of the basic fears. So can we just tell them something about this, please?
Yes. I want to say something about people that have died or people that are dying or that you're afraid you're going to die. I often perform ceremonies of passage for people's family when people have died. And one of the things that I would say, for example, if you know someone who's passed from their body, but you can't have a ceremony for them, you can't have a funeral for them. One of the things that I always say that will help you to not feel that separation, but to really know that you know them in the deepest level, is to ask yourself, what is the thing that you most love about them? A quality that they have, maybe that they have humor, or that they're very giving, or they're artistic, or whatever it is that you love about someone. Think about that as the essence of who they are. And then imagine that you bring that inside yourself. Because that is the way that we pass our legacy, past our bodies, is the imprint that we give each other, the teaching that we give each other by the way we live our lives. My higher self always says, the only thing that matters is the way you live your life. And so if you think of them and their qualities and you bring that in, what I've noticed is that you really do inherit that. That is their legacy to you. And if you are conscious of that, you can let go of your fear. Remember that your fear of separation or your fear that they're dying is about you. It's about something that needs to be healed in you. It's not about them. Because when they pass from their body and I have talked to those spirits, they are free. And they're saying, don't cry for me. Don't cry for me. I am fine now. I am wonderful now. I did it and I'm done. And now you must go on. And so when we feel that separation, it's because we have not filled the space that they take up with ourselves. Part of the reason of this pandemic is for you to learn how to be with yourself and to exude that best self and extend that out to everyone else. If you do that, then your fears will begin to fall away. Great love.
Thank you so much, Chris, for being with us today. Chris Griscom is the founder of the Light Institute and also Nishoni School. So if you'd like to look for her in Google, you know, on the internet, you'll find her everywhere. She also has some social media show videos that she uploads frequently. You can find her on Facebook. You can find her on Twitter. She has always created this amazing movement called Eco SOS. So you can also find her there. Anything else you would like to add, Chris?
No, but I would like to say that I do have these little 3 to 5 minute videos that show exercises that help with the pandemic, ways of getting rid of fear, ways of helping you to breathe, that are, you know, they're free. You can just tune in and it takes 3 to 5 minutes and you have a little tool. What we need now is to know that we each have tools. You have tools. And we all have tools to answer this challenge that we have and to wield our lives in new ways. So that I would say join that because it's really a gift. I'm going to go after this program and do 3 more little short videos.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Chris. And I really hope that when the airports are working again, I'm able to go and visit you for a little while and be able to hug you in person. That I would really love to do. Thank you so much.
It's great to be with you, and that I know that all of your listeners are grateful for your presence.
And for your presence as well.
And for what you do in this world.
Thank you. Thank you so much. See you soon.
Yes.
Radio show dedicated to sharing the latest news on integrative health, overall well-being, and spirituality. You can follow Inner Healers on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Join producer, host, and medicine woman Luciana Stiglich, BASM, every Wednesday for mind and heart-opening episodes. For questions and comments, drop her a line at luciana@innerhealers.org. and support her work by donating on PayPal. Come back next week for another interesting conversation with one of her guests. To remember, you can heal from within. You are an inner healer.